What is faith? It's a word that can be used a lot, often without really understanding what it means. It can be used a lot by those who are believing, Christians as well, without really grasping what it's getting at. This letter to the Hebrews, and we were commenting this afternoon with over tea about the dangers of people spending too much time recapping from a previous sermon. So I won't recap too much from this morning, but suffice to say that this letter to the Hebrews, we were looking this morning at a passage that speaks about God's promise. And it's at the heart of Hebrews. It runs through Hebrews. That which gives us a confidence in life is God's promise to us. The living God who promises, who, as chapter 6 says, because God could swear by no one greater, he has sworn by himself. Well, the response to promise, what goes hand in hand with promise, is faith. It is faith that is our response to God's promise. And so it's very natural that in his letter to the Hebrews, he spends a great deal of time explaining to us what faith is. But actually, he's not just explaining what faith is, although he's obviously, if you read verse 1, he's doing that. Faith, it says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But he's trying to do more than that. What he's trying to do in this chapter is set up for us an example, a testimony of faith. This letter to the Hebrews is written in very good quality Greek. I don't just mean sort of grammatically and so on, but it's written in a very ordered and structured way. The person who wrote this letter had a very, very good knowledge of high quality Greek. And one of the things that means is that it's all written in sections that begin with an idea and then finish with an idea, coming back to that same idea. And you can go through this letter in quite a lot of detail, divided up very clearly into different sections and portions in accordance with that structure that is there. So at the end of the previous chapter, he has been, over the earlier chapters, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that gives us this certainty of faith and hope? Well, at the heart of it, it's the cross. At the heart of it is Jesus dying for us upon the cross. At the heart of it is Jesus offering himself up for us to take our sin. And that's what he's been explaining in much of this letter. Chapter 10 from verse 19 is his application of that. And so verse 19 of chapter 10, he says, therefore, because all these things are true, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus and so on, he begins with the things he is calling us to do. Let us, verse 22, draw near with a true heart. Let us hold fast, verse 23. Let us consider one another. And there is a warning that comes here, and it's a warning again that's repeated many times in this letter. Let us not be those who draw back to destruction. Verse 39, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, one of the elements that runs through this letter is this idea that it is the living out of our faith. It is the living out of the Christian life, which is the evidence and the demonstration of the reality of the faith within. Hence the repeated pleadings to keep going to the very end. The idea of patience. Now, I don't know if you are a patient person by nature. Perhaps if you're a bit younger, perhaps you might be asking, when is lunch? I'm hungry. I want lunch. And somebody will turn to you and say, be patient. Now, what does that mean? Be patient. What do I do? What does it mean to be patient? Well, patience is to wait without complaining. Is to get on with joyfully doing whatever else it is I'm doing without worrying about and moaning about and complaining about whatever else it is I want. So to wait patiently for something is to say, well, lunch is coming at 1 o'clock. Let me happily and joyfully get on with something else until then and not bring it up again. That's patience. And this is the idea. As Christians, we might look forward and the life that is set before us, it might seem to be quite daunting. What the writer is telling us is to be patient, because God is working and God will fulfill all his promises. That's why faith and patience go hand in hand. But come back to the end of chapter 10. We are those who believe to the saving of the soul. And now he's going to explain what that means, to believe. Look at verse 2. By it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And if you turn on to the end of the chapter, and verse 39. And all these, he says, all the people he's been talking about, all these have obtained a good testimony through faith, that they did not receive the promise. And so verse chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And the idea, again, is this, that we have those who have gone before us. We have this picture painted for us of those who have lived a life of faith, that we might use them to help us. They have a good testimony, that they might be to us a help and an encouragement to ourselves. Imitate them and be like them. What does it mean to live a life of faith? Well, look, here a whole group of people who have done that before us. So what does it mean to live by faith? What does faith mean? Well, back to verse 1 of chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's two aspects to faith that are described here. Faith is being able to see things that you cannot see. Faith is being able to have things that you do not yet have. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We can think about things that are coming tomorrow, things perhaps promised to us in the future. I was kindly given a lift here this evening by somebody who believes that they are getting a new car to use in the next few days. And there's great excitement, naturally, about this new car that's coming in the future. And it's possible when you have something like that that's coming up, it's possible to spend endless amounts of time thinking about it and talking about it and getting excited about it. Even though you don't yet have the car or whatever else it is. There is in a sense, there's faith there, isn't there? Faith is that looking forward to something, almost enjoying it, taking part in it, even before you actually have it. And this is the key thing about faith here. Sometimes we will talk about faith as saying we have faith and now we just need to live it out. It's not a quite accurate, it's true, but it's not a fully accurate way of thinking about faith. It's not that we have faith and now I must live it out. Rather, faith is that which brings me into touch with that which is out there. So when God makes wonderful promises to us, it is faith that brings me into touch with the future. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the reality of those things. And therefore, what we might think of as being our hope for the future, perhaps our hope of heaven to be with the Lord, it's not just something that we believe that one day we will go to be with the Lord. Of course, that's true. But there is a sense in which faith brings that to us now. We live in it now, even though we do not actually, if I can use the word physically, have it with us. It is a entering into of that which is still future. It is the evidence of things not seen, secondly. It is being able to see beyond the realities, the immediate, the physical realities of life around us, to the spiritual realities that lie beyond. There's a way of thinking about faith today that speaks of it sort of in terms of being something of a leap in the dark, is an expression that's been used. People will sometimes say something like, I wish I could have, you know, faith like you. With a subconscious understanding that faith is somehow or other an ability to believe something that's a bit crazy or wacky. It's an ability to sort of be a bit of an unusual person, a real character. And believe something that no sensible person is going to believe. That's what faith is. And that's why people admire you for having faith. Because you're seen as being a bit out of the ordinary. But that's not what faith is. Faith is not simply choosing to believe something that is entirely unlikely, but I like believing it. Nor is it choosing to believe something because I think perhaps it will give me fullness and meaning to my life. Faith is choosing to believe something because God declares it to be true. Faith is not basing my life upon nothing at all, but doing it rather well. Faith is basing my life on the reality of God. We live, most of us have grown up in a context, a society, a culture that thinks in terms of being able to prove something scientifically. And science is great. It's important. It's good. The only problem with science is that science is specifically to do with the physical realm. Science is not designed to enter into anything beyond that. Science presupposes and assumes that there is nothing beyond the physical realm, but there is no spiritual. That everything can only be true if it can be tested as part of the physical realm. By definition, God is beyond that. God is outside of that. Faith is believing God. Faith is setting our hearts upon the living God and what he says to be true. And that is this idea of faith as being the evidence of things not seen. Faith is being able to look beyond the physical to the spiritual reality that is beyond. So faith is the ability to look beyond the particular crises I'm going through in my life today and to remember the goodness and love of God that is being worked out through them. So often, in so many ways, we can perhaps be discouraged or upset by things, cast down in our spirits. And often the reason why that happens to us is because we have been choosing to look to what we can see and not remembering to look beyond it to the goodness and love of God. So faith is in a sense, it's being able to look beyond the visible to the invisible that is just as real, but simply cannot be seen with the eye. The evidence of things not seen. So there is a sense in which what faith does, it brings to us that spiritual that is beyond. It brings us into, it enters us into that spiritual realm. And it's in that sense that we can talk about ourselves living in two places. Yes, we are living here. In this world, in this country, in this city. But at the same time, we are citizens of heaven. At the same time, we are living in that heavenly country. And this is the idea. It's not just that we look forward to it. We do look forward to it. But it is faith that today brings us into it. And so living out the Christian life today is not simply a matter of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and then get on with living for him in this world, waiting patiently for the day when Jesus returns so that we go to be with him. Now, again, it is that, but it's much more than that. It is living with him. It is entering into those spiritual realities in our lives in this world today. Now, what does that mean? It means in every part, in every aspect of my life, whatever that might be, whether it's, I think some on half term and so on at the moment, whether it's whenever you're back at school, going into class, or at university, or whether it's going to work in the morning, or whether it's looking after the children, whether it's painting the house, whatever it might be, it's about looking beyond the immediate reality of what you are doing, what you are involved in, and looking beyond it to the goodness, the grace of God that is there. That is what it means to live by faith. This idea that we live before God, this idea that we live in the very presence. We have entered into the holy presence. entered in to live with God. That is faith. That is the life of faith that we live. And so the rest of this chapter of Hebrews is an explanation of how that works out in the lives of all these different people that we see. God has promised. Our response is that response of faith, to live out that life of faith in Him. This morning we looked a bit at Abraham, so it might be worth just looking on a few verses here. Because Abraham is one of the key figures that is set before us in this example of faith. And it helps to bring together this idea of promise and faith. So let's look on to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, what's he saying? Abraham and all the others, what were they doing? They were believing God that they were heading towards a heavenly country, just as we are today. We have that hope, we have that confidence that the day is coming when we will enter into the heavenly glory, when we will go to heaven to be with the Lord forever. And what verse 13 is telling us is, by faith, even though it didn't happen to them then and there, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, they embraced them. They were assured of them and embraced them. So this idea that we have a heavenly home. Abraham, all these others, they took hold of that idea. They took hold of that hope. By faith, they remolded their lives. They lived out their lives in a way that fully reflected that hope. It made a huge difference to how Abraham lived. It meant that Abraham chose not to settle down, not to put down roots, not to make a permanent home. Because he knew that he had a better home. So the end of verse 13 says, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It's so easy, isn't it, here in this city of London, perhaps to have a great and growing career. It's easy to have a great life that's beginning to open up before you. And it's easy to be seduced by that, so that that becomes the reality, the basis, the heart of our lives. But what faith does is the ability to look beyond that and take hold of the promises of God, take hold of what God is doing. And sometimes by doing that, God will work amazing transformations. God will do the most unusual and unexpected things in our lives. You see, we need to remember that God's purpose for his church is not simply that we all settle down in this world and live out a comfortable life. Obviously, coming to church each Sunday and fully involved in all church activities and so on. Now, God's purpose for us, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's much more than that. We are here in the world to live by faith. We are here in the world to bring Christ to a dying, a perishing world. Our whole lives should be molded not by a desire to be established and settled down and comfortable in this world. But again, obviously, there's nothing wrong with having a good career and a good home and family and all those things. They're important. But what must run through all of those things is this vision that what really matters in the long term is the glory of God, the gospel of Christ. We just have to look at the history of the world, even the history of parts of the world today, to see how easily everything that we can labor to establish in this world can be swept away. When living in the Middle East, on a number of occasions, I visited people, friends in Syria. Now, much of that's all gone. Those places I visited, a rubble. Those societies, those communities, they're no longer there. We are not to see this world as our home. We are to live here as strangers and pilgrims. We have a more glorious, a greater vision. Our passion, our longing is for the Lord Jesus Christ to be exalted in all the earth. For the gospel of our Lord Jesus to be proclaimed everywhere. Verse 14 tells us, those who say such things declare that they declare plainly that they seek a homeland. They desire, verse 16, a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And so this evening, as we close, do you have that life of faith? Do you live out that life of faith? Do you have that faith that day by day brings you into the heavenly realities, into the heavenly glories? We must be careful not to think simply that I live for God here in the world and somehow God's up there and occasionally I sort of worship him from afar. Now, faith brings us into the very presence of the heavenly realm. Faith brings us into the very presence of the living God. We are united to Christ. As Paul says, all those spiritual blessings are ours in Christ. But do you have such a faith? Perhaps you have never entered into that life. Perhaps you've seen faith as something you do, something you believe, maybe. Will you come to Christ and enter into that life of faith? Will you take hold of those promises of God? And here is the basis. Will you believe God? Will you believe God when he gives to you all these glorious, these wonderful, these amazing promises? Not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is ultimately to call God a liar. Because what you are saying is that God may tell me that I need my sins to be forgiven. God may tell me that I need to look to the Lord Jesus to have faith in him, to have life in him. But I don't think so. I don't think I need that. No, God's word is true. God's promises are certain. And so will you take hold of him and enter in? Will you this evening search your heart and ask yourself, even perhaps especially if you are already trusting in the Lord Jesus, if he is already your Savior, perhaps especially if he has been for a long, long time, perhaps you have settled down into what might be a comfortable form of faith. Will you look to him in prayer and ask him to fill your life with that life of faith? To take hold of your life, to take hold of every part, that you might live in that heavenly realm, that he might be to you everything. It's a dangerous prayer to pray, because he might take hold of your life and turn it upside down in ways that you would never expect, or perhaps might even fear. But in doing so, you will be entering into, living in, that everlasting glory. Live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Enter in to those heavenly realities. Amen. Let's pray.